There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. Hour number two of Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Live local talker of the hour. Text line open for you as well at 343-0106. And so I mentioned, you know, everybody up in arms about The Hunt, right? This movie that's not going to be put out, which, number one, go ahead and mark my words. They didn't spend the money to produce that movie to not release it at some point through some channel. It will be released. Number two, it's a movie. Sticks and stones, man. And number three, most importantly, this idea that it's this new take and new... The Most Dangerous Game, 1924 short story, right, sets this premise. And now on the text line, people have said it's... let's see. That it was a take on... There's a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, and Ice-T is in the movie as well. Is that the same one? Surviving the Game? Is that... John says it's a ripoff of Gilligan's Island. It is not Gilligan's Island. Now, Gilligan's Island is it to itself. The rest of them may be copies. All right, go to the phones as well at 343-0106. We'll check in with Pepper Briers in just a second. First, David in Mobile's been hanging on, wants to talk about our school conversation from last hour. Hey, David.
Hey, good afternoon, Sean.
Afternoon, David.
Yeah, I just want to put in a plug for the public schools. And at the same time doing this, I'm going to lay a lot of the blame on the parents of the kids who's not doing good. And I'm saying all this based on experience with the three kids we had. They went through public schools. The oldest one, it took us 2.5 years before we could get into the magnet schools, which is part of the public schools. And he was just doing, you know, making C's until we got a call. They had an opening in the magnet school.
Mm-hmm.
And the teacher he had at that time, we've been talking to her about how come he's not doing better. And she would tell us, "What I'm having to hold up for the other kids. I'm going too slow." But she told us, "Hey, go ahead and get into magnet school, even though the year had already started." After we got him in there, his grade came up, and after you get one in, the other one can follow. But the point I'm going to here is when you get into magnet schools, which is a public school system, the kids have to maintain a grade, or if they get in trouble, they kick them out. Unlike, well, I say kick them out, put them back into the regular public school system. Where if you're in the regular public school system, you get in all kind of trouble, and they keep you in school, you almost can't get suspended. That's not like it's in magnet school. And the difference that we saw is the parents backing the kids in the magnet schools. That was a big difference. And I had more kids for playing, you know, sports. One of the parents had kids in magnet schools and some going to St. Paul. And I asked her, you know, how come you still have them all in, you know, St. Paul's?
Mm-hmm.
This time they were in Phillips. And she said, there's no difference in the magnet schools and St. Paul's. So the only difference was St. Paul's, if you have a bad grade, the teacher's going to call you and let you know your kid, you know, slacking up in class. Where the magnet schools only do that once per quarter. We'll send out notices.
Right.
And that was a big difference. And well, I was like, we had three kids. One of them did go to a private school for 2 years. And the 2 years he was in when he first got in there, he said, "Dad, we doing stuff now that we did in the magnet schools already." So
but here's
the
but what about the length of the year?
Take, I'm saying it's the parents that's causing most of the problem. They're not making the kids do the work. They're not behind the kids. So I'm saying the majority of the problem is not the teachers in the school system. It's not the school system. It's the parents.
But what about the length of the school year, David? I mean, with all that being said, does it? What about not starting back till Labor Day and being out by Memorial Day?
Well, based on my age, and I'm a little older than you, Sean, and you sound like you kind of was in the same system I was, we started in September.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really understand the reason why they did what they did. I mean, I don't buy it anyway. I'm for, give them a longer break. You know, go back to what we had. And one of your callers, a lady called about, wonder what the difference is between now and the older generation. I had two aunts that were school teachers. And one thing they taught back then is phonics. We don't teach that anymore.
Remember the schwa? Remember the schwa, having to learn that thing, the schwa? That schwa sound.
Yeah. You had all those phonics you had to learn. And now they've gone away from that, kind of like this, some kind of math system we got now. Which was, when I sat down with my kids one day trying to do algebra, it was totally different from what we did. If you did it the way we did it, the answer would be wrong because of the steps you took.
There you go.
It's kind of crazy. But yeah, it's not the school system. It's not the teachers. It's the parents. Majority of the parents anyway.
There you go. David, I appreciate your call. I got to run. I'm up against a break and I've held on too long. So go to the break. We'll come back. And Pepper Breyers is going to join us next. Talking tolls right here on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Since this morning's show, we had the town hall, Congressman Burns town hall. What I looked to me from the Facebook video, lightly attended, as people showed up to talk to Congressman Burns about getting him to do some more to try to get funding to eliminate the toll here, the proposed toll on the I-10 Mobile River Bridge. Then you had the news conference with State Auditor Jim Ziegler and talking about the meeting they're having. I think it's 6 to 8 Thursday night at the Five Rivers Center. All right, those things have happened as we continue the daily update on everything toll here on Midday Mobile. And good to check in with J. Pepper Breyers from the Alabama Policy Institute, but he's joining us as Pepper Breyers, Mobilian, who now lives elsewhere. Right? We're going to take API. So you're Alabamian at large.
Right, yeah. API hasn't taken position on the issue, but you know, as a Mobilian who has lived in Montgomery, Birmingham, and now Huntsville, I think I can, you know, offer some thoughts on how this can be framed for the rest of the state to understand it.
Okay, so you're going to give us, this is like our translator wheel here, so we can speak rest of the state, right?
Right, absolutely. Now listen, folks in the rest of Alabama, and I would say from about Atmore North, likely don't have a complete understanding of the impact of toll, especially a toll this high, can have on the residents of the Mobile Bay Area, because, you know, those living elsewhere, like in Montgomery, Birmingham, Huntsville, don't have the same perspective as the Bay Area residents have. You know, like Mobile and Baldwin County, to them, are different places. In the city of Mobile and the communities on the Eastern Shore are entirely separate, when in fact they're part of the same metropolitan area. And I think it'd be helpful for the rest of the people in Montgomery, Birmingham, and Huntsville to think of this as tantamount to putting a toll road between the eastern section of their city and the western section of their city. So every time they had to do that, they had to pay, what, $6-$7? And if they did that, I can promise you, they would have an eruption maybe even larger than the one going on in Mobile and Baldwin County at the moment.
No, well said. Okay, so if I'm talking to somebody from Birmingham and I'm trying to get them to understand this, I would say,
right,
what if we had there was a toll to go from Shelby County to Jefferson County, right? I mean, that would be...
Or let's be precise. Okay, so let's start in Birmingham. There's a section of I-20 that connects pretty much the downtown area of one part of the community to some of the bedroom communities that exist in northern Jefferson County, western Jefferson County, and in Shelby County, and on Highway 280 there. It's under construction right now. They actually demolished part of it, and they're building it a raised, brand-new raised way. Now, for people in Birmingham, all you'd have to do is tell them, this would be like putting a $7 toll on that I-20 bridge project you have in Birmingham. Their eyes would go wide and say, what? We go there all the time. They wouldn't be able to do it. And go a little north in Huntsville. We have Interstate 565, which connects the downtown part of Huntsville with a lot of the bedroom communities east and west of the city. They're about to do widen it from two lanes on both sides to three lanes on both sides. Now, if you were to tell somebody in Huntsville that every time they hopped on that road they'd have to pay a $7 fee, they would melt down. Mm-hmm. Because just like in Mobile, people have decided, they've made thousands of little life choices based upon the cost of moving around the metropolitan area, where they might put their mother if she's in an assisted living center, where they might work, where their kids might go to school, you know, what they might do on the weekends, during the day. All of these decisions have been factored in, and in some cases, irreversibly, right? Mm-hmm. And people would understand it. Let's go down south to Montgomery, okay? You have Interstate 85 right there in downtown Montgomery, starts heading east, connecting the metropolitan, the downtown portion of Montgomery to a lot of the other bedroom community east of Montgomery. Tell them, hey, you folks in Mobile, that'd be like putting a $7 toll on Interstate 85 between Interstate 65 and Eastern Boulevard. They would melt down. They would not be able to stomach such a thing.
I'm thinking, yeah, I'm catching on to how to do this. I mean, a lot smaller places, but Tuscaloosa. It would be a toll to go from Northport to Tuscaloosa or vice versa. I mean, that would be, you know, people go back. That's one community. It's back and forth.
Right. So the perspective of somebody up here who, you know, way up in Huntsville may cross the Bayway once a year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. To them, they're looking at two completely different communities, two completely different places. So they say, oh, well, I'm only crossing this once a year, if that. These folks probably don't cross it a lot. When we know, we cross that a lot. I mean, when I was in college, right, I took most of my classes over in Mobile, but I remember one summer it was smart for me to take a class at the Faulkner State's campus there in Fairhope. I drive over there three times a week. I think it was a sociology course. Now, I barely had money for gas, mm-hmm. right?
Right, I remember that.
19 or 20 years. I would not have been able to do that, so that would have disrupted that, you know. And I've got, look, I still have two brothers and two sisters that live in Mobile, and I did an informal poll via, you know, text with them last week. I said, hey guys, thumbs up or down on this, right? And I have not seen such text message traffic between us since our mother passed away. I mean, wow. They were like, absolutely no way. And it's something, you know, so this is going to be a state decision, right? You know, we have our governor involved, our State Department of Transportation. And I just encourage them to, look, I work for a conservative think tank, so I always bring it back to conservative principles. And one of them is the principle of subsidiarity, which says that problems are best solved by those closest to the problem.
Sure.
At least input or feedback, because again, people up here in Huntsville, somebody might be part of this decision, they don't have the appreciation for the thousands of tiny decisions, large and small, that such a thing crashes into you until you put it into the perspective of, this is a toll between one half of our city and the other half of
it. No, well said. Absolutely. I think there's a, you know, lots of people listening right now. And if y'all take that into your conversations with people, Pepper, I think that's genius, because you can tell people and say, you know, just pick out wherever they're from and figure out, you know, what the main route is and explain it that way. Because I didn't, until you said it, I didn't put myself in their shoes where they would see Daphne and Spanish Fort as a different, you know, a different place in Alabama than Mobile or Sims or Saraland. You know, I didn't think about it that way.
It
well said.
I mean, they don't live there. They don't know. But it's up to people who are in Mobile or from Mobile, the Mobile Bay Area, like myself, to come and explain it to them. So if we can at least tell people that that is a similar type situation, then we might be able to have a more productive, informed conversation, that and we might be able to get to a solution rather than where we are now, which is an extremely high toll or nothing at all. I mean, we got to get somewhere.
Well, and people also feel this. I mean, can't speak for everybody. Lord knows, just the people I talk to that call and text and email in here. People feel like this is either a ship that's sailed or just about to sail, that there's, you know, hardly anything they can do. You got this meeting coming up in Montgomery on the 7th of October, and people are saying, well, you know, they've already made their decisions. They're just doing this for show. I hope not. Although, you know, you got Governor Ivey coming out and in the op-ed, you know, even though she plays both sides of the card somewhat. I mean, she says tolls are the way we have to go. She says that, and she and people from her staff, Joe Bonner and others, will be three of the people on this toll advisory board.
Yeah, you know, and Governor Ivey tweeted last week that people were confused, and with respect, I don't think we're confused. The people that have to cross the bay, you know, every week, they know. I mean, they can just take out their calculator, even if they have to, and say, wow, this is going to cost me X number of dollars per year. And they know what they're already having to deal with right now. So I think the people in Mobile are probably the most informed and have a better understanding of how this will impact their lives than anyone else. I mean, it would be tantamount to somebody in Mobile telling people up in Huntsville that we don't need to widen that interstate section I was telling you about. I mean, what do y'all know about this interstate up here?
Yeah, and we don't comment on it. If we're told that that's what needs to be done up there, then we probably agree that it's a value. I mean, if the majority of people there say, hey, we need this, so hopefully other parts of the state will listen to us the same way. I don't know, though, because I mean, I look back at the history of our state, and it seems like I know every part of the state feels like they're the forgotten
right
one. But I, you know, like I said to you off the air, I sometimes feel like we're the protectorate of the state of Alabama. The rest of the state considers us Puerto Rico or something like that, not a real part of the state.
Well, you know, we just don't have an appreciation for the local problems and the local expertise, and when we can't. So that's why you go back to that principle of subsidiarity. A wise person will say, well, what do the people closest to the problem think? Because they're the ones who are dealing with this all the time. They know how it will impact them. Let's take into account what they say. And, you know, we've heard about this bridge for years in Mobile. I remember when I was back as a writer, when I was writing on the Mobile Press Register, we had renditions of it on the front of the paper, and I marveled at it because I'm a fan of bridges. I would love to see a big, beautiful bridge across the bay. I would be proud of that, right? And I've always, you know, looked forward to the day when we can see that. But, you know, we need to look and listen to what people in Mobile say.
I would hope so, and I'm glad you're like our you're like our ambassador to other parts of the state.
Well, hey, again, this has been going on in Mobile for a long time. Nobody has in these 20 years I've heard about it.
Right.
Nobody in Huntsville or Birmingham ever been talking about this, but now people I hear about it in Huntsville. I hear about it in Birmingham. I mean, you're on the radio up mm-hmm. here talking about it. People are interested. So this is an opportunity for Mobile, for Mobilians, and, you know, not just Mobilians, but people of the Mobile Bay area, as I try to explain it to people, to say, hey guys, this is a metropolitan area, just as Birmingham and Hoover is a metropolitan area, you know, Huntsville and Madison is a metropolitan area. You can't put a toll between Huntsville and Madison and not expect, you know, an immense problem to occur. You can't expect to put a toll between Birmingham and Hoover and not expect an immense pushback. It's a high toll, and it comes on the heels of course, we're paying more in gas tax yep. now. So it's kind of a perfect storm to say, maybe not now, not right, not at this plan. I mean, I had a brother who was texting me when I asked him that question. He was out on the causeway crabbing. And he said, there's no traffic on the beach. He said, you know, there's traffic on the Bayway at certain times. Everybody builds this into their, you know, decisions, the decisions that they have made. And, of course, we would like to fly across it. But, I mean, as you know, I think if you put it up for a vote, $7 toll or hassle, I think people would vote hassle.
Yeah, that's for sure. Let them understand that there's a bunch of us here that believe the bridge would be a good thing, and the just not the toll bridge. I mean, I think it gets painted by, and to somewhat the governor did it in her op-ed, that either the people supported tolls or they didn't want a bridge. That's inaccurate. That is not true. There are a lot of people here that absolutely want a bridge. They're just not supporting the toll. I mean, that saying it's a A or B choice is not fair. It's not true.
No, it's not. I mean, you can just say, you know, I don't support this plan because of the impact that it will have on hundreds of thousands of people's lives and decisions that they have made that they can't reverse. Employment decisions, house purchases, school decisions that just can't be, okay, I'm going to make an adjustment and we'll be fine. They can't. Lots of people are locked in. I got somebody in my family that lives down on the southern end of County Road 1. He drives into Mobile every day with a trailer.
That's going to be even more expensive, for sure. Hey,
that's
Pepper,
right.
Thank you for being our ambassador. And as you change hearts and minds, can you call me and let's talk more about it?
I'd love to, Sean.
All right, Pepper Briers with API. Although he is, that opinion is just Pepper Briers, Mobilian, living in Huntsville right now. All right, coming back, we'll get your opinion. Phone lines 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Gone to call my buddy Bill Finch about that bill. They could, if it would be near a storm drain, you could get in trouble. You threw the branch in the street, caterpillar and all, and then it washed in the storm drain. Now you're supposed to be able to blow the grass clippings out in the street. Remember that. Remember that, Bill? You'd have to edit what you say, but be careful. Right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Phone number, text line 343-0106. Yes, it works for both. 343-0106. And Jeff is on Highway 98 calling in about I-10. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
Doing good.
Hey, you had a guy that called in a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about building the bridge from the east side all the way west in phases. And when he first said that, I thought, God's lost his mind. But my girlfriend lives in Charleston, and I was over there recently, and you can't go anywhere in Charleston and you don't have to cross the bridge.
Right.
And I started thinking about it. So Sunday I decided to go sightseeing, and I drove back and forth across the day twice thinking about it because I didn't have anything else to do. And what occurred to me was you have two types of traffic on I-10 headed across the bay. You have your I-10 commercial traffic, which starts and ends on either side of the bay, and then you have your local traffic. And the more I've been thinking about it, the more I've decided that guy was right. The current bridge functions as a normal interstate until you get to the east side of the river.
Mm-hmm.
If we bridge across the river and we do the interstate exchanges on either side, so you can put local traffic into the Bankhead and Wallace tunnels, and you get almost all of the commercial traffic that's headed east or headed west after it crosses the river up and over the river. That's all. I mean, I'm going to say that's all you need to do. That's still a lot of work, but we don't need a new bridge across the river because it functions as a normal part of the interstate until you get to Mobile.
Yeah, but how do you... Okay, so there's, whatever it is, 80,000 vehicles heading back and forth each day. And something, you know, whatever happens, whether actual wreck, somebody slowing down, whatever it is, starts a chain reaction of people slowing down. That chain reaction goes as back, you know, you've seen that, as far back as Michigan, right?
Well,
I mean,
you know, that can happen on any interstate.
Sure, agreed.
So what I haven't heard yet is how much of the traffic is commercial that you could dedicate, you could come back east to where you actually started the bridge to go up, and you might have to add a couple of lanes there, but you wouldn't have to build a new bridge all the way across the bay. If you don't have to do that for 10 years or so, that's a significant amount of money.
Okay.
I see that as being at least half, maybe more.
Well, the bridge is going to come back in as, you know, the drawing, it comes back in as planned. It comes back in, crosses the river, and then fades back in, lowers till it gets to the level of the bayway. And then goes from there, right? I mean, so if you don't have extra lanes there, or then everybody's backed up there too.
Well, you're going to have to have a merge lane. There's no question.
People don't know how to merge here, man. Have you looked around? People don't know how to merge. The zipper method and all that stuff is lost on folks.
Well, they're going to have to learn.
I agree.
You know, but if you're talking about saving $1 billion. Hey, guys, you know, they can do it everywhere else in the country. Why can't we do it here?
Agreed.
And the thing is, you're not increasing the current load of the traffic. You're just affecting how it moves a little bit. And you're actually affecting, you know, your choke points. You're pushing them out and making them gradual.
You know, I wonder, and appreciate the call. This is the problem. There's your idea. There's, we're piggybacking off another idea and so many ideas that have come in. I want them all to be heard, even though they'll say, well, we had the period of time when they were heard and all that. But that's one of my frustrations. It's not even specifically for this plan or that plan. That's something for folks to suggest, engineers to look at, you know, people to actually put some science and some mathematics behind it. But I don't feel like that's the part. You had the governor with her op-ed last week. It's almost the foregone conclusion. And it's just, you know, we're just going to battle it out here about how much the toll will be. The idea of, even if you did the plan kind of as stated, and I've said this several times, but I think it's because to me it makes sense. We're hearing about the gold plan. You know, you go get insurance for your company. Whatever. Here's a gold plan, and then there's a silver and there's a bronze. And you look at what you can afford by employees and companies or whatever. You're getting insurance. You got those three plans. I feel like we hear the gold plan out of ALDOT, and it's just, then you go, hey, can we talk about the silver plan? No, we're going to talk about tolling for the gold plan. Yeah, but can we talk about the bronze plan? No, we're talking about the gold plan. That's the sentiment I get from this. Let's go to Bill in Magnolia Springs next. Hey, Bill.
Hi, John. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I got a quick comment. It seems to me that a reasonable compromise would be to issue anybody that lives in Lower Alabama a windshield sticker and only charge the toll for the through traffic. And everybody in Lower Alabama would just drive through a passway.
You can't do it, though. The problem is with the federal law says, or coming from Federal Highway Administration says, you cannot give discounts or zero charge based on geography.
Well, that rules that out.
Yeah, hey, you're just having the same reaction I did a couple months ago when I heard it, because I was like, why don't you just do this? And they said, well, actually, you're not allowed to, because it's federal road and it's, you know, federally owned and it's for all states. And so, yeah, there's that. Sorry about that. I hate to have to keep bringing that up, but want to make sure. Believe me, there's enough to be ticked off about on this, but we have to make sure we're armed with knowledge and fact in these things. It doesn't mean we have to like it. It just means it's a thing. Ricky, Mobile, up next.
Yeah, my concern is, that's a toll, and you said, I forget how many thousand cars go through there.
I think 80,000 was a stat I saw.
Well, how are you going to collect these people? You know, the bordering states you can collect, but if you get to Texas and everywhere else, you don't have jurisdiction to collect from them people.
Right.
You can send them a bill all day long, and they don't have to pay it because you can't collect it.
That's right. So if y'all, what Ricky's talking about is part of this plan gives this triple P, the public-private partnership, gives a private entity the ability to hold up your driver's license, keep you from getting a new tag, those kind of things, till they get paid. They do have some teeth with this, because, of course, that's why they're risking the money. But where are their teeth outside the state? Where's their teeth outside the state of Alabama? Ricky, I don't see it.
Well, I know, because I go to Texas quite regular, and I've gone through it accidentally where they sent me bills. I'm not going to pay it because they don't have jurisdiction to collect it.
You're an outlaw, Ricky. You're an outlaw. You're like an old West Jesse James man of the roadways.
Well, you know, that goes with the territory. But anyway, but that's my concern is this, the local people is going to be paying for that. You're not going to be able to collect from these people. Now, Mississippi and Louisiana, yeah, maybe Tennessee, Georgia, and Florida. That's it. You don't have the jurisdiction to collect anywhere else. So basically, it's just the people around here is going to have to pay for it.
Good point. Appreciate the call. Yeah, I don't know how that would, because there's, if I'm some other state, even a bordering state, and maybe there's some desire, because like Ricky said, bordering states will probably want some kind of reciprocity, because if Alabama person in their state doesn't pay the toll, okay, maybe that's there. But if I'm another state, the last thing I'm going to do is sign on that my citizens will be under some constraint from a public-private partnership in a state far away. Maybe they would, Allie Goodner, or maybe there's some kind of compact between the states that they do that I'm not aware of. Maybe that does exist. Like I agree with Ricky. If I'm a politician in Michigan, am I going to get on the record supporting Michiganders getting their driver's licenses revoked because they didn't pay a toll down in Mobile, Alabama? No. There's no political gain in that for me. Come back to the phones, 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 150 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile this Monday. Sorry, distracted by a story out here about a new multivitamin that has glitter in it. I'll put this on my Twitter feed in just a second. It says here you could now make toilet time really shine thanks to these multivitamins. Really, is that where we've gone? Is that should be a sign the economy is doing great? If you have a situation where people want glitter in their, glitter-infused vitamins. It's a thing. All right, to the phones, please save me. Trey in Mobile up first. Hey, Trey.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing okay.
You trading out a little advertising with the Chamber of Commerce there in Michigan?
I don't know. What are they? Yes, they can send me something, whatever they got.
No, that was just an ad for the business is great in Michigan. Come on.
Well, you know, they got a big ad campaign. I wish we got some of that money, but we have not. Seriously,
you just advertised for them.
How'd I do it?
You just, they were talking about the Michigan advert. I guess that's on the national.
Oh, thing. That's on national. Yeah, that's not us. National ad. Yeah, we don't get that. They cram that down when we get features. Yeah, we got to carry that.
Okay, my quick question is, we all got these different issues on the bridge, but the biggest issue I got is this whole merging issue. We've got four lanes eastbound that hit the tunnel. Obviously, we're going to end up with seven, correct? Three on the bridge, two in the tunnel?
That's what it seems like, yes. And then those will be carried across, you know.
Okay, and then we're going to end up with four on the bayway into two at Daphne.
Well, okay, so they said in that meeting the other day, that's been like 2 months ago, that part of this program was that to some point east, they would carry the lanes further past Spanish Fort. Now, I don't know, some people suggested that's like the whole way to Wilcox Road. I don't know how far it is. I got to find that out for
right.
a fact. But yeah, that you've got to carry it.
$2 billion?
Yes, yeah, that's part of the bridge fee, bayway fee, which is $1 billion worth.
Okay, well, at least they're attempting to address it. It ought to be fun to watch it, that's for sure.
Well, that's the problem. You know, people say, well, we'll get this and we'll build the bridge, but we don't need to spend the money on the bayway. Well, here's the problem. I want to save money on this too, but I don't want to take a bunch of traffic and dump it in to have them all merge somewhere out on the bayway and then have the same traffic hang up, just move it further east. I mean, that doesn't accomplish anything.
Nothing at all. Nothing at all. 20 years worth of planning, and we haven't saved anything.
You're right.
Great, great, great planning by the state of Alabama.
I mean,
and then shove it down our throat.
Yep. There we go. Appreciate the call, Trey. It's okay. Let me read some. So this is part of what bothers me. Governor Ivey's op-ed that showed up in Yellowhammer on Thursday or Friday. I can tell you exactly when it showed up. It showed up 3 days. So Friday. So it was a Friday dump here. And in this, I could read through. I'm going to read through a couple parts of it. But the part that really stood out to me. This is, and she quickly, I mean, in this reading through, you can tell she supports a toll. Said here, in this subsection, no toll or no bridge. Governor writes, in recent weeks, some in the no toll or no bridge camp have suggested we ought to just slow this down and wait till after the next presidential election. I'm raising my hand. I'm putting myself in that camp. I mean, if we're looking at federal money, there's a lot better chance that there could be federal money, more federal money with Democrats are not going to work with the president in an election year to give him a win. It's just not going to happen. And the same thing would be true if the parties were flipped. I mean, it's just the way Washington works or doesn't work. But the governor writes here, in recent weeks, some in the no toll or no bridge camp have suggested we ought to just slow this down and wait until after the next presidential election. Slowing down a project that is almost a quarter century old seems unwise. The cost of doing nothing is too high, and no one is suggesting it will get any cheaper if we just wait. It seems like the governor is hamstringing her own argument here. I would argue, Governor, the fact that the project is a quarter century old, what is one more year in this? I mean, really? And not even till we would find out, you know, well, okay, year, yeah, well, 13 months. What does 13 months matter in something that's 25 years of discussion? She goes on to say, like others, I am sensitive to those legitimate concerns of what a toll would do to working families, lower and middle class citizens, small businesses, students, and the elderly. If you got left out of that, I think that means everybody, right? However, there are also countless individuals who would like the option of choosing a safer, less congested route across Mobile River and Bay, even if it means the route will come with a toll. Keep in mind, there will always be toll-free options for anyone who wants or needs to cross Mobile Bay for free. To those who say the bridge can be built without a toll, I simply ask you to show us how. To that end, I'm inviting all who have different suggestions to build the bridge to a meeting that'll be held October 7th. Okay. That's the meeting we talked about, October 7th in Montgomery. She goes on to say, elected leaders from local, state, and federal office will be given an opportunity to show us their plan, and the meeting will be open to the public. The project, she concludes this way, the project is too important for us to be paralyzed by misinformation and inaction. I hope we can prove that when we work together, there's no limit to what we can accomplish. There's a political flourish there at the end. The argument that because the project is 25 years in the making, then we can't wait another year. I would say that for that reason, as a percentage of the total time we've spent on this project, is nothing. It's nothing to wait and see if there's more federal money here. I mean, and so you can read through this. The only people that oppose this are no toll and no bridge. Though there are plenty of us that would like to have a bridge, would like to have more work done. We're asking, is the only way to do this, to get vehicles across at a better rate, is to do the current gold plan at $6 each way? More if you got a boat trailer, more if you got a commercial trailer. So I don't think that's fair. I think it's a fair assessment. What, saying that 1 year is too many, then 25 years is too many. And if President Trump wins, he may not be able to do anything more than they've done now with that infra grant. But maybe he can. If he doesn't win, we still have the $125 million infra grant, and you're no different than you were before. How that you got to do it now? I get worried in anything where I feel like I'm being rushed. That's one thing I do not like. That's like a personal pet peeve. Like if people say rush, 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 do this, make a decision now. I go, whoa, nuh-uh. Wait a second. Wait a second. And in this case, what is a year out of, as to quote the governor, a quarter century of this project? All right. Another meeting coming up Thursday from 6 to 8 at the Five River Center with the Block the Mobile Bay Toll group from Facebook. State Auditor Jim Ziegler holding this from 6 to 8 on Thursday at the Five River Center. I know they had a news conference today after they showed up at Congressman Burns' town hall. And I guess this is on for Thursday. So we'll talk more about this before we get to Thursday. And I give you some more information. If you got any questions, you can always hit us up on our social media platforms like Facebook or Twitter. I don't know if we can do anything on Instagram, but we'll post up some pictures of bridges. Maybe we can link to that animation, Dalton, that the TV stations are using, that they're going to wear out. You know the animation that's like something from that looks like Minecraft or something. If Minecraft was building roads and not mines or whatever they build there, it would look like that with the cars kind of happily moving on to the bridge and happily going over it, happily paying tolls in that, something like that. And so we suggest, don't forget that every trip there is at an administrative fee that could be as much as $3 per trip. What administrative? I got to find out about that. Cher, send me more information on the administrative fee. I got to understand that one more. Talk about it again tomorrow, starting at 6 for Mobile Mornings, all the way to the Paul Feinbaum Show as we get ever closer to college football. Oh, so exciting. So good. So good. Helps you get through August.